Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your greatness. Thank you for bringing us together again. We pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us. Thank you, Father, for blessing our lives. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. We're glad to be in church this morning. Wow, are you excited to be in church this morning? Are you sure you're excited? You're flabbergasted or not? You're not. You're only excited. It's a word. All right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, I'm talking about how you can become a strong Christian. How you can become a strong Christian. You need to be strong. I say you need to be strong. You know, the tallest bridge is in France. It's in a town called Malau. Malau, they call it the Malau Bridge. It is one of them. It is actually the tallest in the whole world. Now, the people in Malau, the Malau is located in a region where people use that village to go on vacation. So during the summer, Malau becomes a very busy village. And the mayor of Malau was saying that every time traffic builds up, and traffic will build up almost every time, he will hear on the radio that, you know, in abroad they talk about where traffic is and where you should avoid traffic. You have those traffic updates. I don't know if you know that. Abroad, you say, oh, that's on the East Bank, it's about 1 kilometer traffic, so avoid the East Bank. Use the back through the Ogo, whatever, and go. Because if you go, you'll be stuck in traffic. So every time he says that, he will hear his town's name, Malau, in the news that avoid Malau. Avoid Malau. Traffic in Malau is too strong. Avoid Malau. Avoid Malau. So he realized that people were actually encouraged to bypass his town. Every time during the summer. You get it? So he felt so bad, and then they rose up and they petitioned the president of France. I think it was Jacques Chirac in those days, and asked him to do something about it. So they went on a project to do a bridge that will link before you enter, you get into Malau, and then beyond Malau. The region where they were going to position the bridge was very, very, very dangerous. It was mountainous, it was a valley and all, the river and all of that. So they gave the project to this engineer, to design, architect, to design a bridge. When he designed a bridge, that was, what, it's about 300 meters or so high. And the people thought that he was crazy. He goes, how are you going to put a bridge so high? How are the people going to do it? But, you know, time passed by, and they accepted the plan, and they decided to build a bridge. It's fantastic if you watch it. It's too fantastic. The things these people did to put the bridge together, the steel, the calculations, the engineering work. You see, if you are going to be in something, if you are going to do something, you will have to decide to be the strongest of that particular thing. Because when the architect designed it, the engineers will have to build it. Now, when you build it and then it breaks down, your reputation is at stake. You are going to be known as the person who built a bridge that could not survive. And they had examples. They had examples of bridges that had fallen. In fact, when you watch the documentary, they were showing a bridge that after they finished, the wind, you see, because the bridge was high, you cannot underestimate the power of the wind. They said that the wind can travel as fast as 130 kilometers per hour. Almost like a hurricane. You know, a car to go 130 is very fast. And that's how sometimes when you go so high, that's how the wind travels. So this bridge they built, I think it was in the US or so, it was high. And they did not calculate, and they did not, I mean, take into consideration the strength of the wind. It was I think they built it to handle about 90 kilometers or so. And then there came a strong wind. Come and see the bridge. The bridge started moving like that. Steel work. And then at a point, the whole thing came down. People died. Now the person who built the bridge will get a very bad reputation. Nobody will want you to design anything for them. In a similar way, if you're a Christian and you are not strong, you actually disgrace Christianity by your weakness. In fact, you discourage people from not even wanting to become Christians. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. If you are going to be in the Lord, you must decide to be a strong person in the Lord. You must decide to be a strong Christian. There's no benefit, there's no use in being a Christian and being a weak one. There's no benefit, neither for you, nor for the church, or for that matter, for Christianity. Whatever the hand finds to do, the Bible says that, do it with all your might. If you don't decide to be strong, you'll be broken down. You'll be weak. And the weak version of anything does not last long. Are you a strong Christian? Will you call yourself a strong Christian? Would you call yourself a Christian who is surrounded by, who is fortified, who has things around him or her that makes him strong? That your roots are deep. Your roots are deep. Your roots are deep. Should there come a wind, should there come a hurricane or a tornado, it will not move you because you are strong. You must decide to be a strong Christian. I said, you must decide to be a strong Christian. Are you with me? I've given you a few points why you must become a strong Christian, isn't it? What's the first point you have? Reasons why you must be a strong Christian. Number one. Sorry? So that you're what? You can overcome the wicked one. Yeah. The devil is a wicked one. You see, if we didn't have an enemy or we didn't have an opponent, there wouldn't be any point to strengthen yourself. But if you are, I won't even say wrestling, because wrestling is just entertainment. Boxing is not. Boxing is real blows. Yeah. If you want to be anything, maybe a wrestler is good, because wrestling, you don't get hurt. It's all a game. It's all entertainment. But boxing, you can dislocate your jaw. Yeah. Your face can be rearranged. Yeah, you should go and ask Muhammad Ali. Yeah, he has Parkinson's now. Is it Parkinson's or Alzheimer's? It's Parkinson's, right? It's because of boxing. Are you there? It's because of boxing. So, if you have an opponent, and I like the days of Mike Tyson. In the days of Tyson, hey, when they say you are going to fight Mike Tyson, I like one guy. There's one guy, I forgot the guy's name. I've forgotten. I don't know whether it's Spinks or Michael something. I forgot the guy. Is it Spinks? There was one guy when he accepted the challenge to fight Tyson, and then first round, I think about 1 minute or so, he just fell down. I said, this guy is a very smart guy. Now, you got to be crazy to want to fight Tyson for 12 rounds. In his days, Mike Tyson was a beast though. He was a beast. You know, this guy was a street guy that Don King or so, you know, took and tried to, you know, make something out of him. This guy, when they ring the bell and say round one, this guy is coming like an animal. Hey. Oh, the guy was very smart because whether he won or lost, he was going to get millions of US dollars. I said, I like this guy. Because when you see Tyson coming like an animal on you, if you joke, he will kill you. So some little jabs, bah, 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 bah. The guy was running. First round, hey, people started throwing chairs into the ring. They were so bored because it's like we have paid so much money to come and see some fights, and you just threw in the towel in a few minutes in the first round. I was saying to myself, you your money is wasted. You think the guy is foolish or what? Yeah. They don't understand. I'm sure he's saying that. You see, the whole strategy was that when you go, just let them hit you and you fall down. Because if you are going to stand toe to toe with this guy, he will kill you. Yeah. So it's the same thing in Christianity. If we didn't have an opponent, then you can say, you know what? Well, I'll just be going, minding my own business and nothing will happen. But we have an enemy who is a very wicked person. If you even ask Evander Holyfield, he will tell you. When he was beating Tyson realized, you know what? This guy, I got to do something to him. He took off a bit of his ear. Yeah. He later apologized. He's wicked. I don't know whether they put something back on his ears, but anytime he looks into the mirror, he remembers Tyson. Yeah. If you don't become strong, you look back at yourself all the time and you remember the devil. He's very wicked. And therefore, you and I have to be strong so that he will not be able to take us down. Hallelujah. What's reason number two? Hey, you are quiet. You don't write the notes. You don't write the things down. What's reason number two? Sorry? He will come again. He will come again. Again in boxing, sometimes when you beat people, they say, I want a rematch. Satan does not give up. Bible says that he left Jesus for a season. So those of us who are not strong, whatever makes you strong, you should keep it. Yeah. Whatever does not make you strong, you should eliminate it. Whatever makes you weak, whatever makes you vulnerable, whatever makes you open to attacks and to disgrace and shame and all of that makes you, you know, become depressed about your Christian life, eliminate those things. If you don't do it, you see, there are a lot of things that you and I have power over in terms of decision making. There are certain things that God will not take away for you or add for you. You and I need to understand what makes you strong, what does not make me strong, and either add that or subtract that from your Christian life. Some of you still have bad friends after being a Christian for 6 years. Now, it is your friend that shows how weak you are. It's the friend that makes you vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. But that friend, God is not going to take the friend away. Because God doesn't want to what will offend you. He will take care of your enemies, but not your friends. Because if he takes care of your friends, you will say, but God, what is this? Why have you taken away my friend? In fact, you blame him, and before you realize, you say you won't even serve him again. Your friends, the things around you that makes you weak or makes you strong, it is your responsibility as a Christian to decide to stick to them or decide to say bye-bye to them. It's up to you. That is why decision-making is one of the qualities of a good person, a good leader. And you are leading your life, so the decisions must come from you. Nobody will decide for you. I can't decide for Clive. He has to decide for himself. My responsibility is to preach, is to expose, to make things known and clear to him. But the decision-making is up to him. And many of us are not able to make decisions. Your decision-making ability is weak. It's true. That sometimes the thing is killing you, but you still don't say anything. Sometimes you just want to please somebody, just so that somebody will be happy, and then you will not be happy. That's, some people are like that. This thing is killing you, but you can't say it. Now, if you don't decide to take away something, then Satan will come again and again. If he doesn't get you this time, he will come again. You must be strong so that when he comes back, he must come and find you stronger. I said, when he comes back, he must come and find you stronger. Amen. Amen. Number three. You're number three. Sorry? You're waiting. Strengthen yourself so you can run your race properly. Psalm 19, verse 4. You should strengthen yourself so you can run your race properly. You can run your race properly. Athletes. Usain Bolt. Is it when you see Bolt on the track celebrating his records and his victories, you think that it's just like Gary Sugar and Nido. You think it's just some simple something. You should go and see how they train. Some of these guys, they train with weights behind them. And they run with weights. As they are running, they are heavy. And they try to run fast with the weight so that when the weight is off and they run, they'll run faster. Now, the Bible says that their line is gone. It's gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. You're going to run a race, you must be strong. The Christianity is a race. Hebrews chapter 12, then verse 1 says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Hey, forgive me, scripture for the week. Yeah, we'll learn it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This race is a long race. You got to fortify yourself for this race. You got to strengthen yourself for this race. You need to be strong for this race. There's no point in running this race and then falling down or getting off the race halfway. Then you might as well not even start the race at all. Do you know we are running a race? That's what the Bible is saying. Spiritually, we are running. And we are being watched by those who have finished the race and they are waiting. This is a race where when you finish, you check out. When you finish, you check out and you go into the stands to be a spectator. A spectator who you can cheer or not cheer. They will not hear you. You see, in those days when we used to
are good for
inter schools and inter zones and inter colleges and all these inter sports and athletics. You see, and we go. When I was growing up in Ghana, it was very exciting. Very exciting. There's a lot of people, a big stadium, and you see all is compulsory. It's not like these sports that some parents can say, my child is not going for sports because of all the foolishness that takes place there. But these ones, everybody's compulsory. Everybody must go. And then we go and we'll be in the stands and we'll be singing and cheering the people. Hey! Now, you see, when you see one of your, you see your school, one of the athletes from your school, they are running the race. You cheer them on. We sing. Especially if they are, you know, going to be the first one, or they are trying to, overrun or outrun the first person so that they can be in the first position. We sing. We shout. We mention the person's name. And, you know, it gives them extra energy. Yeah. Now, this race is like that, but you can't hear the sound. Yeah. You can't hear the sound. Because what happens is that the people who are cheering us on, or the people who are trying to make us run well and all of that, they are behind the scenes. We can't see them. You can't see them. When we are running well, they are cheering us on. When, let's say, you are on and then the enemy is trying to come and overtake you, he's also cheering you on to look around, look aside, look on your left, look on your right, he's coming. It's like that. It's almost as if you are watching a movie and then there's this innocent girl walking in the bushes, you know, singing. And before that scene came on, you saw a boogeyman, you saw some crazy bad man who escaped jail. And he has come to hide in those bushes. You see this young lady walking around carefree, going for a walk with her dog in the same bush. Now, you wish you could tell the girl that, hey, there's a guy there. And you know these movie makers, I don't allow them to affect my emotions at all. And then you are sitting there and say, oh my God, oh my God, he's going to catch it, oh my God. And then, bam, ah! It's a movie. Yeah. It's a movie. But you wish the girl would have heard your voice to avoid that thing. It's the same thing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. They wish we could hear their voice as we are running this Christian race. And to say, don't go into that area. Don't be a friend of that person. Don't do this. Don't do that. This place you are going is dangerous. Don't walk in the night. Don't do this. Don't do that. They wish you could hear them. Because you need to be strong. You need to. If you are running your race, you have to be strong to run your race. Hey. You have to exercise. You have to wake up in the mornings. You have to run. You have to jog. You have to build your strength. You have to run. Some of us, I'm sure if you have to run to the corner and come back, hypertension will raise. Some people, arthritis will come. Rheumatism. Yeah. Some people might not even make it. They will fall down. They will not even make it. Yeah. It's true. If you look at strength physically, many of us are not strong. Yeah. Because your physical strength does not come from just eating and walking around and all of that. I mean, those of us who drive a car all the time like that, it's not easy if you start walking on. It's when you start walking, you realize, hey, this car thing has been killing me. Killing me softly, Calvin. Killing me softly. Yeah. You try it and see. The walking is good. Bicycling is good. But you see, when you have a bicycle, you say, you think that you are poor on a vehicle. And the cycling is good. Yeah, it's exercise. It keeps your heart beating nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's why sometimes when we pray, we walk around and we jump around because it's also a physical and spiritual exercise at the same time. Yeah, when you pray, you sit down, you lie down. Hey! you are dying slowly. So you need to be strong to run your race. It's a long distance race. And long distance races, if you are not strong, you can't finish it. It's when they do cross countries. They have the cameras running behind them as they run through the town, as they run through the city. And sometimes people, they have water at different points. When you get there, even the water, to take the water, sometimes some people, they are not able to, by the time they touch it, the thing falls, and they just continue. Sometimes some people just stop. They just stop. So because the heart is not strong enough to handle the passing and the race. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not want any of us to end the race before the race ends. Did you get that? God does not want you and I to end the race before the race ends. So you need to be strong. You need to build yourself up. You need to be strong. You need to fortify yourself. Otherwise, you start. You see, what happens is that some people start the race very exciting. You look around and see. Some people are not around anymore. They were not strong enough to continue the race. Yeah? No matter how you say it, no matter how you see it, it is a question of strength. Yeah. They are not around anymore because they were not able to run to the end of the race. So sometimes people, and that's why sometimes you have to be a little careful when people start this race very excited. Watch it. Yeah. It's a marathon. And you the running of it is patience and it's strategy and it's strength. And you have to take your time and run. Make sure that you don't stay at the back too much, because by the time it's the end sprint, the final lap, you have to have strategies, but you have to be strong. You have to be exercising. You have to be training. You have to be practicing. There are spiritual exercises that will make you strong, and that is praying. You have to be praying. You have to know how to pray. You have to be praying in the night, in the morning, in the afternoon. You have to exercise yourself for this race. You have to be strong. You have to be strong. Look at you. When we say we are fasting and praying, you don't come. You want to finish the race? I tell you, you may not finish the race. You may not. I mean, when you see somebody who is not going to finish the race, you can see it. Oh, cry. I don't need to enter into a trance or a vision to see that you will not finish the race. But by the fact that you don't like to pray. You see, because one of the simplest form of prayer is when we come together. It's much easier. Because whether you like it or not, you are being moved to pray. When you're on your own, you will not pray. You shall not pray. You wouldn't pray. You shouldn't. Is it shouldn't or shouldn't or can't? Some pray. So when you don't show up for these group prayers, I know that you will not finish your race. It's clear. Because to finish the race, you need to be strong. And your strength comes from prayer also. Yeah. Oh, just as these guys will wake up in the morning and they will run and they will run and they will run, they will do exercise and all of that. That is how you build yourself. Go to Jude. You have Jude? Jude something. Jude 1, what? 20. Jude 20. The Bible says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up. Build yourself up. Build yourself up. Make yourself strong. by speaking in tongues, by speaking in tongues. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Are you there? Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? All the time. Then you're cooking. When you are bathing, instead of singing, you pray. It's the song that you don't know the verses anyway. It's easier to speak in tongues. I say it's easier to speak in tongues. But ye beloved, building up yourselves finally on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Not praying in English. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, when you're on the road, yeah, break time at work, build yourself up, make yourself strong so you can run this race. Because if you don't build yourself up, this race, you will not survive. I tell you, you will not survive. Your heart will give up because you have not trained your heart to withstand distances. Satan is patient too. Satan can lie down as a snake in a corner, waiting. I tell you. He'll wait for you at the corner when you think that, oh, this race, I think I'm doing well. You'll be surprised. He's waiting somewhere quietly. Quietly, he's patient. Snakes, it's only the snake that comes out. That's the one we kill. Most of them, they are just there where they are. They are quiet. A snake can live in a house with you for years. You wouldn't even know. Yeah, it will be eating your food small. Yeah, right there. He's patient. They can be there, lying down quietly. Before you realize, you're gone. Strengthen yourself so that you can run and finish your race. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us, speaking to our hearts and affecting our lives. We are going to fortify ourselves. We are going to strengthen ourselves for the race that is set before us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You're here this morning, you're not saved, you're not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, you're going to lift up your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. You're not saved, you're not born again. If you were to die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. You will die right now. Do you have a ticket? Do you have a visa to go to heaven? If you don't have it, just your right hand up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. It's an important decision you're making today. Your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come to the front. Come. I want to pray for you. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Give your heart to Jesus this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. God bless. Oh, clap for them. There's another young man coming. Clap for him. Clap for him. God bless you. 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 Another man coming. God bless you, sir. God bless you. What is this hand doing? Okay. All right. Wow. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My, oh my. You want to join them? Come quickly before we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes with me. Let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe that I'm born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I'm now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for them? Amen. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.